my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. His name is Sean Inn, and he is from Kingsburg. Please give him a Valley Group welcome.
Hi, my name is Sean. I'm an alcoholic. Just get this ready for later. So I'm going to start with just telling you a little bit about myself and my story and stuff and where I was at in the beginning. I started drinking at the age of 14, just like many other kids my age going to high school and stuff. Drinking was kind of a sociable thing. Most people or just most kids my age started early, and being that I grew up in Kingsburg, there wasn't a lot for us to do other than hang out and drink at the river. So that's what we did. So as a kid growing up, I didn't really know what an alcoholic was. When I thought of an alcoholic, I thought about a bum on the side of the street or someone pushing a shopping cart or someone panhandling asking for money. So growing up, it's having fun. That's what I did, and that's what we all did. As I grew up, I mean, there was other things other than drinking, obviously, like pot and cocaine and all these other things. And for myself, because I always liked to try new things. If it wasn't just, my mom always told me to try new things, whatever. She thought of try new things like doing new stuff, and I thought of trying things as doing new drugs. I went that route, and it was fun for a long time. As I continued through high school and got out of high school and started college, I didn't know where what the boundary was of stopping. You know, it's just like to keep going, having fun. I was in college at the time, and I went to class, and for me, it was like, should I go to class and learn more and go and continue on with my future, or should I hang out with my friends and drink and party and do what was fun? And for me, fun was the better route to go with. So I did school a lot. I got dropped from a lot of my classes, and I ended up getting kicked out of college. And I always tell people it's because I got sick and I had pneumonia and stuff, and I got let go. And I mean, that might have been part of it, but for the most part, it was because I was drinking and partying and using. And we all have our stories and stuff, and we've all gone down that path. And I don't want to tell too much about my history, that's why I'm here, right? So when I was 21, I wrote notes. I got rid of them. I was just like, this would be easier to speak without them. When I was 21, I went on a floating trip with some of my friends, and I was in the program. I was in AA at the time, and I just remember I was supposed to be sober, and I went on this float, and I remember taking like a 12 pack of like energy drinks with me, thinking that if I went on this float trip, that is, if I was drinking energy drinks, then I'd be okay, you know, and I wouldn't drink alcohol. Well, halfway down the float, I mean, I ran out of my energy drinks, and all there was alcohol. And I was like, well, what's one going to hurt? What's one going to do to me? And knowing that I had to go to AA, like, later on that next day, I was just like, I'll be fine. Later on that day, I was in the river rolling around because I just fell into a fire, and now I had burns all over the side of me. And I remember waking up the next morning and going to AA, and I had bandages all over my body, and they asked me, if you were, if this did not happen to you, would you have come over here and told us that you were sober? And I was like, no, of course not. But I was like, yeah, I mean, I would have lied to them. And so that was one of my first instances with drinking and getting kind of caught, and not knowing that I was an alcoholic at the time yet, and just thought it was just a fluke accident that happens to everybody. And that kind of continued on and on throughout my life. There was always like little instances that would happen, and I would continue to just blame it on, that's what happens to everybody. I mean, everyone gets in accidents, everyone gets into certain situations like that. And when I was, I think when I was 23, I got my first DUI, and I remember going to my first DUI class, and the lady telling me, she's like, that I was an alcoholic because of that situation and another situation in the past, and the fact that I got a DUI. And I'm like, everyone gets DUIs. I'm not an alcoholic. That's not me. And I mean, that was basically what I did. And sorry, I'm kind of scatterbrained right now. As I continued, as I continue with my young age, I'm 31. I'm still young, but I was in and out of programs my whole drinking life. I always blamed drugs as my problem, and so I went to a lot of institutions. I went to a lot of rehabs, and I always blamed drugs because alcohol seemed like a fun thing to do, and I didn't want to. I didn't ever want to admit that alcohol was a problem for me. This last time before I came into the program, looking back at where I was at, I was living on the river. I was homeless. My family had kind of disowned me at the time, and they were always there for me. So losing them, I didn't think I would ever would lose them. So hold on a second. It's funny. It's funny. I secretary two meetings and I can't even talk in a room of a bunch of people. So looking at the last point where I was at, I remember being on the river, and I'm telling myself, okay, is this where I want to be? Is this who I want to be? Am I going to stay here and end up dying, or do I want to continue with my life and have something more? And I remember my mom calling me that morning and asking me, hey, would you like to come home and we can help you out from here? And if you do, then we're going to help you out. And I remember telling her no, just because I didn't want to see her because of the way I looked at the time, and I didn't want her to feel bad of seeing me because of the way I was. And I said no, and I spent another couple of days on the river, and she had to go out of town for something, and I broke into their house, snuck in, took a shower, laid in bed, and my dad found me later on, and he told me to get out. He's like, I don't come from a family with alcohol and drugs. Everyone's like perfect in my family, and I was the black sheep. So them seeing that, they were gonna let me go, and I remember my mom calling my dad and her telling him that he needs to keep me overnight, feed me, allow me to get healthy, and we needed to figure out something out. So I never wanted to come back to AA since my first time because I was always embarrassed. I always felt like if people saw me come back, then one, they would know I was an alcoholic, or two, it just scared me to see. I thought everyone was going to kind of like shut me away and no one was going to open their arms and help me and tell me to come back. So I always told myself from the beginning I'd never go back to AA. When I got sober, or when I first decided to come back, I knew for myself that I couldn't just go to a meeting every day, because if I did, I would end up going back out on my own. So for myself, I had to go to a program. I went to Salvation Army, and that's when things started working out for me. When I first went there, I didn't know how to love myself. I didn't know how to love others, even though I was always trying to help others, and I wasn't in the right place. I had to figure out how to get or find love for myself. And so in Salvation Army, I created a relationship with God. I found God once again, and by finding God, He taught me how to love myself again, which is one of the hardest things I could possibly do, because I didn't even know what love was, so showing it to other people didn't really make sense to me. Once I found out who I was, and once I started loving myself, I started to be able to create relationships with my parents again. Seeing that I was sober, my sister coming back in my life, because in the past I kind of sent her to the hospital because she was stressing out for me, and she had cancer in the past, and she ended up getting shingles from it. She had to go to the hospital. She almost died from it, and she always blamed me for it, and it was a rough break for me. But so after Salvation Army, I came back to AA, and I went back to Kingsburg. And another thing that I hated about going to Kingsburg is every time I walked into the meeting, I only saw old people, and I thought it wasn't a young people's thing. So I was just like, I am way too young. I'm only 30. At the time, I was only 29 years old, and I looked at everybody, and everyone was over 50, and I was just like, how am I going to have fun in AA if there's just a bunch of old people out here? Well, literally did I find out that there's actually young people's, there's committees, there's young people fellowships, and there's young people that have fun all the time. And one of my friends was in a part of Ficky Paw, which is Fresno County Young People's of AA. They have Tookie Paw here. And I decided I was going to jump on that committee because I just wanted to see that there were other young people in AA. And I wanted to be a part of them. And I wanted to be able to see that there was fun things to do in AA. And because I never really experienced it before. And so that's kind of like where the seed began. And 6 months later, I took up a secretary position in Kingsburg. I started secretarying a meeting, and that was about 2 years ago. And I still keep that position, and it's been doing good for me. But it's funny because when I first got sober, I thought that being that I'm sober now, like, everything was going to be, like, fine. I mean, my parents were going to be like, I love you, you know, and they're just going to be, just believe everything I said, you know, and it doesn't work that way. You have to gain trust all over again, you know. You have to gain, we have to show that you're responsible for your actions and what you say you're going to do, it was hard in the beginning. It was extremely hard, and one of the things that sucked for me when I first got sober was because of the drinking and because of the drugs and everything I did, I actually heard voices, and the girl that I was talking to before I got in the program said that I was going to hear those voices forever and I was never going to be able to get rid of them and I was always going to be basically fucked. It took about 9 months where they started disappearing, and 9 months where I started seeing God work in my life, and the steps started to work like they said they were. One of the hardest things for me that I never did before was when I was in Salvation Army is that I had to admit that I was powerless over alcohol, and I never did that any time of my before I became sober. This last time, I was talking about before earlier, how I always said it was drugs and stuff like that. Every time I went to a program, I always said it was drugs. And I remember the moment when I knew that alcohol was a problem for me. And I remember falling on the ground, breaking down, crying, going to the chapel, and just like crying like all day because I was never going to be able to have another drink again. And being that alcohol is so sociable and so welcoming to most people, it was probably the hardest thing I ever did. But looking back at it from now, it's probably one of the best things I ever did, and I know it's one of the best things I ever did because of where I am today. When I have hard days today, I try to think of where I'm at and what's bothering me. When I think of hard days in the past, I think of those days. I had a sponsor that once told me that if you're ever going through a rough time and you feel like you think you're going to use, look back at that one time and remember what was surrounding you around that time, how everything smelt. Remember what you were doing at that moment. Remember, just remember everything about that and then see if you want to go back there. And I know I don't want to go back there because I had nothing then. This is hard. This is going to be easy. let's see. Sorry. So one of the things that I have to find for my life is I was talking about AA earlier and I was talking about God. I have to have a balance in my life. The reason why is because when I go to church, I can go there for prayer. I can go there for meditation. I can go there for help in some situations. But on the other hand, I can't go there to talk about what I'm going through at the time. Because if I start talking about drugs and alcohol, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. And I just can't have the same bond with them as I have with my fellow AA members. And that's the one thing that I love about AA is I can come to you guys about anything and talk to you guys about anything. And there's always going to be someone that either relates to it or someone that can tell their story or someone that can share their experience. And that helps a lot. And the other thing is... I've gone through a couple sponsors in my life, and the only reason is because I have my first sponsor kind of helped me out through AA my first time around, and I got like a year sober. But the problem was back then is I did it for everybody else, and I didn't do it for myself. I remember telling my parents that I was going to get, I'd give them 1 year of sobriety because they always say, if you can get 1 year, then you're not an alcoholic. And I told my parents I'd give them 1 year, gave them 1 year the exact day, went out the next day and got loaded and started drinking and I was back to square one. It took a little bit of time. I tried to pull myself and tell myself that, hey, I can leave a beer there and not drink it and then leave dinner and be fine with it or whatever. And I did that for a long time until that one beer turned into two beers, that turned into three beers, that turned into blackout, and then I didn't remember what happened that night. Going back to balance, I just I have to do my meditation every morning, and I have to pray and ask God that He allows me to make the right decisions throughout the day, and then I have to go to AA to do my service to show that I can help out others and to give back to others what they gave back to me. Because even though I got sober and I was expecting my family to be like these wonderful people, and they still didn't understand the fact that I was an alcoholic and I was sick and I had I had cancer and I just wasn't right at the time. I'm going to, I'm like all over the place. I don't want to shoot. Shit. Are there any questions? Can I go that route real fast and then get my thoughts back together? Yes. I'm actually on the 10th step. I can't even think right now, honestly. Shit. I don't know. My sponsor. So I have two. I had one sponsee, and he is actually. We started on the steps, and he took some time off, and I'm just kind of waiting for him to come back. I've had a sponsee in the past where I actually tried to help, and I tried to like babysit him, and that didn't work for me. Every time we hung out and stuff, of course he was sober. Every time I left, he started drinking again, and that went back and forth for a while. And I found out that you can't make someone be sober; they have to do it willingly on their own. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. Yeah, so right now I am doing Thicky Paw, which we actually just came together with Tookie Paw, and we're now Tuffy Paw. I was co-bid package for that, and we went to Accupaw last week or about 2 weeks ago, and we got our Accupaw Summit, which was really awesome. So we get to bring a conference to Fresno or Tulare or Visalia, and we'll bring about 400 people, hopefully, to the conference and show that there's young people and we could all have fun, and it's going to be a great little 3-day, hopefully, vacay or fun time. So the first sponsor I found, I'm going to go through the sponsors real fast. So the first sponsor I found, because my coworker actually, I found out that her husband was an alcoholic, and when I saw him, I was like, you know what, that guy has it going, he has everything together, he has a great job, and I want what he wants. And so the first time around, even though I wasn't doing it for myself, I still liked what he was doing, and I had asked him, and he said yes, and that's the guy that I got for my first sponsor for that first year. Well, I came back 10 years later or 9 years later, and I was like, you know what, let me hit up that same sponsor, hit him up. At the time, I thought he had what I wanted, but he didn't, and so I found myself another sponsor. The sponsor that I found this last time when I first got sober, he was there for me. So when other people weren't, he was there, and he always had the right thing to say at the right time. Sometimes he spoke too slowly and I didn't understand what he was saying, but he was like another father to me at the time, and I, every time I went to his house, I felt safe, and he was able to explain things in the book, and I took a lot of notes in my book, and now when I read the book, I understand most of it just because of the things that he told me at the time. But my problem is when I was with him, I was only getting so far, you know. I needed more. I needed to advance more. And a gentleman came up to me and he was just like, "Hey, would you like to be my sponsee?" And I said, "Yeah." And so he actually approached me. He found me, and since then it's been good. So.
Like, you know, spiritual experience, like through the steps, like I'm like,
spiritual experiences. My first actually spiritual experience was actually with God, to be honest. It's when I was teeter-tottering whether or not I wanted to, not really that I wanted to become a Christian, because I was already a Christian, but if I believed in God, because of everything that I had gone through, and I just wasn't sure if he was real because I couldn't see him, and honestly, I mean, everyone says he's real, everyone speaks about it, and we believe it, but how do we actually really know? And I remember I was in Salvation Army, and I was laying on my bed, and I was crying, because I was just like, this sucks, like, I know I want to be better, and I want my life to continue, I want to move forward, but like, how do I know that you're my higher power, and how do I know that you're actually real? And I remember I was laying in bed, and I was in my room, and a cabinet swung open, and I was just like, well, that was a fluke, you know? And I was just like, so I continued to pray, and I continued to ask God, and I was just like, hey, how do I know you're really real? And the cabinet flew open again, so I went and closed it. And my roommate, I remember, he walked in the room, and he's like, bro, don't open my cabinet. And I was like, dude, I'm just closing the cabinet. I don't know how it opened or what happened. I was praying again, and I was praying, and this is kind of when I realized that I was an alcoholic as well, because I was praying, and I was like, God, I was like, how do I know that you're real? And I was just like, that was a fluke accident twice. And I was just like, there's no way. I mean, I have to be able to see you. If I can't see you, then how do I know that you're real? And then it flew open again, and I was just like, all right, well, I'm never going back. I'm like, and so that was my first like spiritual experience, and it was a God experience. And since that's happened, I've never like turned my back on God, and I've always moved forward. And I remember talking to God, and I was just like, hey, God, you know, I've always come into these programs, and I've always said that meth was my addiction, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I continue to come back, and I always get back into it, or whatever. And I was just like, I'm like, well, if it's not meth, then what is it? And I was just like, well, it can't be alcohol. And I prayed about it for a while, whatever. And then I was just like, shit, I think it is alcohol. And because all my other programs, every time I went out, I've always went out. I was on these roller coasters where I do hair for a living. So I was making good money. I was at the top. And then as soon as I started using and drinking and stuff like that, I'd lose it all. I'd go back to the beginning. I'd go to another program. I'd say I was there for meth. And then it was just repetitive. And I went to like 5 programs, and I said the same exact thing every single time. Every single time I came out of the program, I started drinking. Every time I started drinking, I got back in cocaine. Every time I started went back into cocaine, I got back into meth. And it was just a repetitive process, whatever. So finally, I was like, you know what? Let's try something different. Let's just stop drinking alcohol. I quit drinking alcohol. Since then, I mean, I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore. I might vape or whatever, but I quit basically everything. And by the grace of God, he's allowed me to. The cool thing is, because God has actually taken the temptation away, and he's taken the taste away from me, I don't even think about alcohol. And if I go somewhere that there is alcohol, it doesn't even faze me anymore. I don't like chocolate. When I see alcohol, I think of chocolate, and it's the same thing. I mean, like, I'm not going to drink it because I don't like eating chocolate. I mean, it's the same exact thing. And that's kind of how it works out for me. And the cool thing is, I mean, it's not like you can run away from alcohol. You know, it's always going to be there. I mean, you could always go to one of those dry areas, whatever, but if you go to one of those dry areas and there's no alcohol, there's going to be drugs there. So it's like you're always going to have to try to stay away from something. You could always lock yourself in an institution, but no one wants to stay there for the rest of their life, you know? And since then, it's just it's been good for me. I just think about the things I have today that I didn't have before. I mean, I look back at when I had nothing, and I might still live at home, but the coolest thing is I bought my first new car, which was amazing, and I never had money to buy something like that, because I always blew it on alcohol, and I blew it on everything else. But I live with my parents right now, and it's allowed me to save money. I had like these little goals that I was gonna do, like bills and stuff. Like one of the biggest things I had was debt. I was probably about like $10,000 in debt, and I started with the small things like cell phone bills. I went from cell phone bills to apartment fees, and then I continued to work my way up or whatever, and now I have everything paid off. I had no more debt. The funny thing is I have a $29 fee that I don't want to pay right now. And it's so stupid because it's a gym membership that I didn't pay for like 2 years ago, which I don't think is my fault. And I mean, that's just me on my own or whatever, which I keep on telling myself every day I need to go pay it. But it's nothing compared to where it was before. Life today is so much better. I have my family back in my life. I have my sister back in my life. I know my cousins' names. I remember before I went into a program, I didn't even know who my cousins were. When I walked up to them and I was like, hey, I was just like, and I couldn't remember their names, and nieces and stuff like that. And that was one of the coolest things for me to get back. And they wanted to hang out with me because before they used to run away from me, now they run up to me. There's like a lot of small things that I had let go of or I stopped doing. I remember the first time I went back to a family function, everyone was like, hey, it's glad to see you. We haven't seen you in like 2 years. And when they said 2 years, I thought it was like 2 months, but literally it was 2 years. I go to everything now. I go to like birthday parties. I go to I don't know, St. Patrick Day functions. I don't know. I do everything. My dad's birthday is like tomorrow or in 2 days, and I'm gonna be there for it. I mean, life is just so much better now. People are better now. My clients love me that I actually show up to work on time. It's an amazing place to be. And I love myself. That was like the hugest thing, because once you stop loving yourself, then you stop loving life. And I want to live today. In the past, I didn't care, but I do today. And I love helping people. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Ooh.
Yes, sorry. You know what? In the past, when I did have triggers, like I'd drive by certain areas and I'd see a house and it'd be like, oh, that's where I used to buy from, or I'd stay away from certain sides of towns or town. Honestly, it's when I look at those places, I drive by places that I used to buy from all the time, or I used to hang out at places all the time or whatever, and I just think of them as other places. I don't have triggers anymore, none of that stuff bothers me anymore. I just remember where I was before, and sometimes I think of that place as like where that's going to lead me, and that's about as far as it goes. It doesn't go, it doesn't take me to bad places anymore. It just takes me to where I was then, and I just, I'm grateful of where I am today, and I thank God that I'm here, you know. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks.